Wise Studies presents The Upanishads, Stories of the Self with Graham Burns. At Wise Studies, we are committed to illuminating the sacred texts and teachings of the world's great contemplative traditions. In this course, yoga teacher and scholar Graham Burns explores the ancient and profound teachings that make up the collected texts called the Upanishads. In this first session, Graham introduces the Upanishads and explains the cultural context in which the teachings arise.
Welcome to the first of a series of five talks about a bunch of texts from ancient India known as the Upanishads. The Upanishads are some of the most important texts underpinning the religious tradition which later came known as Hinduism, though the term Hinduism itself is a term that came into use much later than the texts that we're looking at in this course. The Upanishads form part of a wider corpus of texts known as the Veda, or the Vedic texts. And one of the things that the different strands of Orthodox Hinduism tend to have in common is a respect for the tradition and the authority of the Veda. What I'd like to do in this first session of the course is introduce you to the Upanishads as a group of texts, to explain their place in the Vedic corpus, to look a little bit at questions of dating, perhaps of geography, and indeed in general to give you an overall orientation to what the Upanishads are. As we move through the course, we'll discuss a little bit more what the Upanishads actually say. And in particular, we'll look at their influence into not just later popular religious traditions in Hinduism, but into later schools of Indian philosophy. The Vedic texts were compiled over quite an extensive period of time, going back to perhaps 1500 BCE, maybe even somewhat earlier, through to the beginning of the Common Era. Our Upanishads that we're talking about in this course occupy the final part of that time frame. We need to be a little cautious about how we use the word text in this context, because the Vedic texts, including the Upanishads, were not transmitted in writing until sometime many centuries after their compilation. Rather, they were transmitted orally from teacher to student, often indeed from father to son. And when one actually stops and looks for a moment at the length and the complexity of some of the Vedic texts, one realizes what an incredible achievement it was to memorize and transmit those texts accurately. What is perhaps even more amazing is that there are people in India today who still have that ability to recite some of these texts from memory, despite the fact that they are in many cases long, complex, and in an archaic form of the Sanskrit language, at least until we get to the Upanishads. Now, the Vedic texts can be divided in two ways. The first way is the way which I call the vertical divisions. And what I mean by that is that the Vedic texts were transmitted over the centuries in a number of different traditions. Specifically, they were transmitted in the four traditions of the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, the Yajur Veda, and the Atharva Veda. each of those traditions spawned its own sub-traditions. So that within, for example, the tradition of the Rig Veda would be a number of sub-traditions. And each of those sub-traditions, at least initially, had its own distinctive forms of spiritual and religious practice, its own distinct texts that carried the teachings of those particular practices. What is difficult to do this far removed in time from that period is necessarily to put any individual text that we have into one or other of those particular sub-traditions. But what we can do is, generally speaking, put our texts into one or other of the four main subdivisions, the four main traditions, those of the Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, and Atharvaveda. So that when we get to look at the Upanishads, each of those Upanishads, at least nominally, belongs to one or other of those traditions. And the tradition to which the Upanishad belongs will, to some extent at least, influence both the contents of that Upanishad and perhaps how it presents those contents. Again, there's a word of caution needed here in that the association of some of the later Upanishads with these strands of Vedic thought are a little bit loose. It's quite hard to see any particular relationship between the Upanishad and one or other of these traditions. And so by default, those Upanishads often are associated with the tradition of the Atharvaveda. But very often that is, or appears to be, a default attribution rather than one based in any reality that we can assess. Different with some of the other Upanishads, in many cases, the Upanishads that we have originally formed parts of other Vedic texts. So we can see from the tradition in which those other texts were compiled where our Upanishads belong. Somewhere along the line, and it's difficult to say exactly when or how this happened, but somewhere along the line, parts of those texts were extracted, and having become extracted, were given a life of their own as separate texts called Upanishads. Now, as well as the four traditions, the Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, and Atharvaveda tradition, we can also divide the Vedic corpus of texts in what I call a horizontal way. And what I mean by that is that within each tradition, there are different classes, different types of text. To begin with, we have texts called the Samhitas, which literally means collections. And those are, in fact, the texts which are sometimes simply referred to as the Vedas, the Rig Veda, Samaveda, etc. These form the earliest part of the Vedic corpus. And their function was primarily in the context of ritual. The Rig Veda is probably the oldest of them. And the Rig Veda contains a large number of what are generally called hymns, we could perhaps think of as mantras or prayers, that were recited during Vedic ritual. The Samaveda and the Yajurveda took many of those same hymns, those same mantras. In the case of the Samaveda, to elaborate on the metrics of their recitation, the metrical form in which they were used in ritual. And in the case of the Yajurveda, to focus more on what we could consider the choreography of the ritual practices themselves. The Atharva Veda, which came somewhat later on the scene, perhaps around 1000 BCE, was not so much compiled for use in ritual performance, but rather contains a series of what we could think of as incantations or spells that perhaps have specific magical or quasi-magical results. Following on from the Samhitas, the collections, the next layer of text that we come across are the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas, in general, are texts which elaborate in a much more detailed way on the mechanics of performance of the various Vedic rituals. They were compiled in a period in which Vedic ritual was becoming ever more complex. And in particular, what both the Brahmanas and the third layer of texts, the Aranyakas, literally the forest texts, what both of those types of texts do is that they present some of the more esoteric meanings of the rituals, rather than simply presenting the mechanics, though they certainly do that to an extent. They actually start to make esoteric connections, explaining why a particular ritual has a particular effect. After the Samhitas, the Brahmanas and the Aranyakas, finally come the Upanishads. We'll talk more as we go through the course about what the Upanishads actually have to say. But suffice it to say for now that they move away from the context of the external ritual, and they start to bring in more speculative thought. They start to bring in more ideas which we might consider to be philosophical or proto-philosophical. And the way in which they do that and the extent in which they do that is something which we'll discuss later on in the course. So those vertical and horizontal divisions of text overlay each other. The likelihood is that each of the traditions or the sub-traditions of the Veda had its own Samhitas, its own Brahmanas, its own Aranyakas, and its own Upanishads. But as I said earlier, it's difficult to place the text very precisely anywhere other than the broadest Rig, Sama, Yajur, or Atharva Veda categories. So we do, when we look at the Upanishads, very often tend to study them as a group spanning the divide of the Vedic traditions. But one of the things which we can bear in mind always when studying the Upanishads is to know which of the Vedic traditions any particular Upanishad comes from and to consider how that tradition might influence what the Upanishad has to say.